Hi, I'm Deb McIntyre, and you are listening to the Shamans Podcast. Thank you for joining me. I hope my podcast gives you some insight into shamanism and its ancient practices and processes. This podcast will cover elements of shamanism that you can incorporate into your everyday life. You will also be listening to other people's experiences via my podcast guests. We will talk about many topics such as primal woman, primal man, the shaman's talking stick, the shaman's roundtable discussion, as well as some more general topics that I might throw in. So grab a cuppa, put your feet up, or perhaps you are listening whilst out walking or in the car. And welcome to this week's episode. Welcome to today's episode on the intuitive self. Today we are joined by Claire Fitzhenry and Lisa Byrne. Welcome, Claire and Lisa.
Hi, Deb. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Deb, and hi, Claire.
So nice to have you back on board discussing this topic. I'm actually quite excited. I'm always excited, right? So extra excited because we're talking about the intuitive self. Very, very excited. So the intuitive self refers to the inner guide within. It is where we surrender to the spirit within and are shown what can be possible outside our current realm of understanding. The intuitive self provides us with the best possible solution to all life's problems and experiences. We see the intuitive self as a shrouded mystery, one we will never understand. So I just want to say that that is an untruth. All it takes is for you to trust that first step and grasp a new way of believing. Trust that what spirit is revealing to you is the right course of action for you to take at this point of time. Messages and direction from our spirit guides and ancestors serve our higher self. They will not lead us astray. It is our own self-belief that invites doubt and fear into this spiritual, sacred space. So, Lisa, how important for you is trusting and believing in the voice of the intuitive self?
Well, I'm believing that, and I'm learning that it's a very, very powerful tool. And you know, all my life I had this inner voice, but my problem was that I never trusted it, I never listened to it, I never allowed it to guide me. And it's very important when it comes to our life choices and the decisions that we make on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, without listening to that inner voice, you know, we're allowing ourselves to copy others or to allow other people to make those choices for us. And that was my very much experience until I actually learned how to trust that inner voice, because all my life, especially as a child, I was always told that, you know, that's nonsense. You know, if I had any ideas or I wanted to make any particular decisions in life, you know, I was always swayed off that path, basically. So I was never making choices for myself and I was never serving my higher purpose. I was always listening to other people. So basically I was not choosing myself. So it was only in the process of learning that that inner voice is actually huge in our lives. You know, that's, you know, I'm learning now to actually listen to it more. And you know, I still have issues of letting go of things, although my intuition is guiding me and telling me over and over again, time and time again, you know, to let go and to step into a certain particular situation. For example, now, like, you know, I'm moving through this shift where I'm leaving my old career behind and I'm stepping into coaching full time, but there's still a huge fear around that. And you know, although my intuition is telling me it's okay, everything's going to be okay, and that, you know, there's so much growth that's going to come with moving forward and stepping into this. And for me, my mind is still saying, oh, but, you know, that's a risk. That's a huge risk to take. And there's still a lot of self-doubt there, you know. So it is massive. But through the decisions that I've been making in the past years, I've been learning to trust it more and more. And I've seen the results. I've seen the outcome. And it's like, okay, well, I better start listening to this, you know. Because it's there to serve my purpose, you know. It's where I want to get in life. So it's a massive, powerful tool.
So Lisa, just some of the things you said there about listening to the inner voice. Now, I know sometimes people say, what does that mean? Like, do you get a vision? Is it an audible voice? What does it mean to listen to that inner voice? How do I do that?
It's like an inner knowing for me. And it's like, you know, it's not somebody else's voice that comes in and tells me. It's just like, it's a feeling. It's a feeling that I get. So, for example, if I'm presented with choices, you know, my gut tells me, well, this is the right choice for me. Whereas if I don't, and then I don't listen to it and I choose the opposite choice, then when it plays out, then it's like, ah, you know, I had that gut feeling. It was trying to tell me something. This was the choice I was meant to make. And I think a lot of us experience that, you know, where, you know, we get that gut feeling and it's like we can, you know, tune into something and feel like this is the right thing to do, but we don't listen and we choose to do the opposite or to choose another choice. And then we look back at that situation and go, oh, I remember that, you know. Once it's played out and we see the results and the outcome, it's like, oh, I should have done that, you know. So
let me ask you another question. When can I know that it's my gut that's giving me instructions and telling me to do something and not my mind holding me back from stepping into something?
That's a good question, actually. And I think for me, it's through experience. It's through practice. So again, just what I was saying, you know, when you see things being played out and you know that you may have made mistakes in the past, you know, but now you're choosing new choices because you're starting to listen to that gut feeling. And you come to a place where you feel more aligned, you feel more happy in your life. I mean, for me, for a perfect example was like, you know, I was moving from one toxic relationship to the next. And, you know, I didn't... Although my inner voice was telling me, you know, this is not where you're meant to be at. Like, this is, you're not choosing yourself. But for some reason, I was making those choices anyway. And it's not until, you know, I started to do the work on myself, I started to get to know myself on deeper levels. And I built that relationship with myself. Like, you know, I've come to a sense of self-worth now and I'm learning how to love myself and just getting to know myself. And who I am, basically, and looking at my patterns and working through those patterns and understanding where they've actually come from. And I can see them so clearly now. So it's like, now that I've done that work and I've seen the patterns, I've seen the choices I've made in the past, now I know which is the difference between my gut instinct and my mind, because my mind is that, you know, those patterns, which I believe.
Yeah, that's great. So, Claire, what does your intuitive self mean for you?
I really want to add to what Lisa's just mentioned there. I think it was really powerful what she just spoke about. And I think for me, my inner voice is very calm. My mind comes from a place of panic. So what Lisa said about feeling, I know when it's my inner voice, because there's a sense of calm and trust. And when it's my mind and fear, there's a sense of panic. So that's kind of how I distinguish between my gut instinct and my mind taking over. But for me, my inner voice is my guide. The last few years, I've made some decisions that go against the, I guess, the grain or society's expectations. And this is really where I've put to the test my ability to trust my inner guide the most. And I'm still living and breathing it now. It's still choices that I'm making on a day-to-day basis currently, that the people that are around me, the people that care and love for me, they don't understand my path. But I've come to the realization that people don't need to understand my path. My inner voice is my guidance system, and that's all I need to follow. And the real challenge is letting go of all that, I wouldn't say conflict, but challenge that, particularly when it comes from people that you love, whether it's, you know, friendships or family, when they don't understand your path, it's difficult because we don't want to create separation between us and the people that we love. So often we get consumed in other people's idea of what is right for us because we don't want to create that separation. But for me, my inner voice, I've never ever, I don't think, been so connected to it now in my life and the decisions that I'm making. And it comes back to that piece that Lisa beautifully said about trusting yourself. Yeah. And once you have that trust in yourself, yeah, I think everything else falls into place.
You brought up a valid point there in it's so easy for us to rely on the opinions of others and, you know, listening to, you know, what they have to say because we trust them more than, you know, our own voice or our own intuition. And also I love that what you were saying about, you know, the mind, because even though the mind or the subconscious mind is an amazing, amazing thing for us to have, and you know, it teaches us and it guides us and it stores those wonderful memories that are good for us to remember. Like I always use the example is when we're born, we don't know that we need to look both ways when we cross a road, and you know, somebody teaches us that, and that's a good belief to keep up, you know, for the subconscious mind. But there's so many other things that we have developed as patterns or memories, experiences that perhaps do not serve us moving forward, and they're the ones that pop in. So they come more from a fear place, which is what you mentioned, you know, like the limiting, the holding back, where it stops us from stepping into whatever our next stage is, whatever the next level is. And a lot of the time the mind is there to keep us safe, but again the subconscious is limited to what it can do, whereas we know the intuition or the intuitive self, that inner voice within, that spiritual part of self, is unlimited, is infinite. And it can be so hard for so many of us to rely on that because, you know, I don't want to be in that box. I don't want to have a lid. I don't want to have sides that tells me that I'm confined. But at the same time, I'm scared because I'm stepping into that unknown space. And I don't know what to expect. So, Claire, what would you say to those people who have that fear within themselves?
Imagine what is possible. Because that mind, that fear, you know, it goes, but what about? Have you considered this? Da, 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 da. And it creates the possibility of all the worst case outcome. But when we're in that place of calm, whatever that is for you, get yourself in an environment where you can listen to your inner guide. I think is my first bit of advice, is actually create an environment where you can hear it, because often when we're living in fast paced busy lives, we're not even connected to it. So find a place that you can connect to your inner guide and start to conjure up, what was it, this actually went the way that, you know, I planned it to, or the way that I wanted to do it, or maybe it would even work out even better than what I expected it to look like. Really connecting to what is possible Yeah, I think, you know, and again, acknowledging that part that comes up that tries to keep us safe, but actually acknowledging that and saying, you know, thank you for trying to keep me safe, but let's place our focus on our energy on what actually might be possible for us. And what does that look like? What would it look like if we didn't think about failure? What does that look like? And really connecting with that vision rather than the vision of, but what if, but what if, but what if, the fear vision. So yeah, find an environment that keeps you calm and grounded and really tap into what could be possible here.
So let me ask you, you mentioned quietening the mind. How do you quieten the mind when these things pop up and are brought to our attention?
Grounding techniques are so important. I mean, it doesn't have to be meditation. People kind of go to this preconception that, oh, I need to sit in stillness. You absolutely don't. You can create this stillness in movement. That could be a walk, that could be a run, that could be going outside and connecting with nature. You'll find your thing. It could be meditation, but it's just mindfulness practices, grounding techniques. And if you don't know about those things, I would just explore them, start to explore them. There's so much information out there, reaching out to people, you know, like ourselves, that actually can guide people in the right direction to find their inner calm, find their thing that allows them to access it. For me, on a personal level, I live in an area that is surrounded by nature. When I need some guidance, I go to the trees often. I go to the forest, and I take out other distractions such as phones and whatever else, and people. I often just go by myself and just sit in the forest, or I go out walking in the forest, and I find those times where I really can access my inner guide. Equally, could be movement for me as well. Running by the ocean is another one of those. So like I said, it doesn't have to be inner stillness, doesn't need to be outer stillness. You can find stillness in movement. So if you're a person that doesn't enjoy sitting down, explore ways where you can feel present and grounded. And if you're starting on that journey, nature is a really lovely start. So find a place in nature that makes you feel joyful but calm. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. That's awesome. So Lisa, here's a question for you. We get so caught up sometimes in the right course of action that we should take when we're talking about the intuitive self and the subconscious mind. How do we make the decision?
I think, you know, we do learn from making our mistakes, so-called mistakes. I don't believe in mistakes because I believe that, you know, there's this saying, you know, failure is feedback. And, you know, we learn through, like, we grow through what we go through. So it's, you know, when we limit ourselves and then we don't take action, we don't grow. So it's taking action, even if we're not listening to that intuition, you know, it's taking action. And it's, you know, yeah, believing that we're not limitless, or that we are. Yeah, we are limitless, sorry. And it's purely taking action and learning as we move through the journey. So
I love that. I love that, that we just keep mentioning continuously about it's learning. And this is the journey. It's learning. We don't need to have all the answers. Nobody does. And what is right for Claire might not necessarily be right for Lisa, or necessarily right for me. So it's not one size fits all. It's taking the information and interpreting it as to how it suits you and gaining that understanding. So that's why when you go and ask somebody else for advice, like friends, about a certain situation, they're coming from their own circumstances, their own experiences. So they're unable to provide you with the information that you might need for your journey. It may be a guide, but it's sometimes like we try to fit in to somebody else's ideals. And a lot of the time that doesn't work. So I'm just going to throw it open to you two ladies for a couple of minutes. Is there anything else that you would like to add on that?
I think you're absolutely right, Deb. Just trusting yourself. It's wonderful to have people that you can speak to, friends and family and care, like, you know, guides and mentors. But ultimately, we are the only person that knows what is best for us. And if I would leave a leading message, it would be trust yourself above anybody else. You know yourself better than anybody. You know what's right for you better than anybody. So stop looking outside of yourself for the answers and try and cultivate in an environment that you can find them within. Yeah.
I totally agree to that. And I love how you said that, Claire, about, you know, stop looking externally for the direction and the answers and start going within, because it's only you that knows what you want out of life. And you've got to really look at your life and think to yourself and ask yourself, what is it that I'm here for? What is my purpose? What is my passion? What brings me joy? You know, you got to really start asking yourself these questions and stop trying to fit in with everybody else's ideals. And, you know, yeah, so it's only you that knows. So
thank you, ladies, for sharing your wisdom and your knowledge with us today. Look, this is another topic that we can talk so much about. And I think it would be a really good thing, you know, maybe in the new year to revisit it and have a bit of a chat about it. So thank you so much to our listeners that have joined us in this episode about discussing the intuitive self. And thank you again to Claire and Lisa for joining us online. So namaste and blessings.
Thank you, Dad.
Thank you.